I'm saying all of this because we have to understand the scriptures. Blessing is in approaching to God. And we just read now, starting from Ephesians chapter 2 into chapter 3, that we have our approach through Christ Jesus, whether Jew or Gentile, that the wall of partition, which was represented by the law, has been abolished in Christ Jesus. Therefore, God doesn't understand that whether one is Jew or Gentile, all he sees is who is coming through the Lord Jesus Christ to him. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, Jew or Gentile, approaches unto the Father except by me. Do you get the point I'm making? What we are saying is so important for people to understand. So that you will not go around telling people that, listen, you know why Nigeria is not prospering? They severed diplomatic relations with Israel long ago. He says, that's so. You know, Jesus is the most important. No, Jesus Christ as a person is the most important export that Israel has. They export the oil from where he lived. You've not seen water from Jordan. And some of them are made in Onitsha from the river Niger there. Yeah, you don't know. You just go there, go to Onitsha now, you will see water that one JP. You know what's JP? Jerusalem Pre-Grip. It used to be Justice of the Peace those days, but now it's most JPs you see around are Jerusalem Pre-Grips. Do you get my point? So the Jew respects Jesus as an economic factor. Without Jesus, half of their income is gone. Do you know how many Nigerians enter plane, carry better money, go spend there every year, and they come back with bottles of olive oil? And the olive oil cannot be the same price as the normal olive oil, and the one from the land of Jesus Christ. Wait. And thank God for that brother that has two different tombs in which two Jesus Christ's rose up from the dead. Is it on the same day or two different days? Amen. I hope you are getting the point I'm making. All right, let's read what Paul, Peter. We're reading Peter just now. So Peter was explaining that there are what they call the sufferings of Christ. I've also said, Pastor Paul, you preach along these lines those days, and the glories to follow. Do you know? Since then, I've always seen it in the scriptures that every time there is a suffering, there is always a glory. And do you know how to tap into your own promise of God? Find the suffering you are in right now. Don't read it further down the line. You find the glory. It's yours. You claim it anytime you want it. By faith in Christ Jesus. There's something I want you to understand. You see, it's in recent times, while reading the New Testament, I understand how prophetic about Christ. You have to understand the meaning of the word Christ. I will try and explain something here without confusing you. When the Bible uses the word Christ, I believe most times, without saying Jesus Christ, no, just Christ, it's talking about more than the person, the single person, Jesus, who came to the earth. It's talking about the body of Christ, the whole, everything that Jesus achieved on the cross. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That when he talks about Christ, Christ is not a name that belongs to Jesus alone. That you see this Banky, if you were to write his name fully, he's Banky Christ. Oh, are you getting what I'm saying? You don't get the point. And if you call your name, the proper adjective to qualify it, if you walk the way God wants you to walk, is Christ. That is, Jesus entered a place and said, I have opened a door for everybody to come in. So when you talk about the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow, that apply to Jesus Christ. Do you get my point? Then any believer in Christ Jesus will also look and say, how does it go? Sufferings of Christ, yeah, I'm there. And the glories to follow, it's mine also. Did I lose you there? Or you don't fully understand? Don't worry, think about it one day. God will help you to understand. What I'm saying is very true. Well, if you see the word Christ like that in the Bible, all right, he's not talking just about Jesus Christ. He's talking about Jesus as the head of that body. And everybody that is in that body is part of that Christ. You are getting the point I'm making? That is the way it works. That is the way it works. So what everybody needs to do is, in fact, when I read the scriptures, like last year, Saturday, you heard me reading from Isaiah chapter 49. I said it was a great encouragement to my soul. Why? Because I was reading things. Okay, I was saying something just now, that when I read the Bible, I now see how prophetic about the Christ that the whole of the Old Covenant is, and the whole of the Law and the Prophets. Because go and read it. He'll just be talking like, if you go and read in context, where he was talking about, I will declare my name, your name amongst my brethren. I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders. You saw it quoted in Hebrews chapter 1, right? Go and read it from Isaiah. You will have thought that Isaiah was just talking about himself, because Isaiah married a wife and they had children and he was giving them names. But he was a prophet. His whole life was supposed to be prophetic about the Christ. Are you getting my point? So, to my surprise, they just speak and said, and Isaiah and I said that because the name of the children were named according to events happening in Israel. So he now said, I and the children that the Lord has given me are for signs and for wonders. When it was going to be quoted in the New Testament, they said, that's about Jesus Christ and his descendants. I will call your name amongst my brethren. You hear David talking, oh God, because you have helped me, I will declare your name amongst my brethren. It's quoted there that is Jesus Christ. You see the whole, look, if God were to open your eyes and you look into the scriptures, you'll be amazed at the richness of the thing. That's why Paul said, oh, well, don't let's go there now. That's why Paul talked about the unsearchable riches. I think there's a book I'm writing. I've not finished it. I abandoned writing it more than 2 years ago. Because now I've written a large volume. The hand that I was telling you about is the introduction to that book. Unsearchable riches. That's the title. Because what Paul was saying is that the thing is too much. Where do we start from? That if you understand this thing fully, Paul said he understood this so much that it was not possible, humanly speaking, for him not to be proud. He said because of the depth of understanding, of revelations, so that I will not be exalted above measure. God said, let's put you in check. Do you follow my point? That if a man really understands, you will understand that, look, some of these things we are running after is not necessary at all. That life is so easy to handle if a man learns how to step into that position that we call Christ. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But what I'm emphasizing here is the fact that Peter said there are the sufferings of Christ and that glory is always, always preceded by those sufferings. And at any time a man finds himself in the sufferings of Christ and is a believer in Christ Jesus, if you watch out, there are glories to follow. Are you following what I'm trying to say? That is, when you see challenges in life, don't say everybody is going through it. I like one thing my pastor said those days. He said there were many people in prison, right? The times of Joseph. There were many of them unjustly imprisoned, right? He said, but the same thing that everybody was going through was what God used to raise Joseph to a high level. So I know Nigeria has had this problem, and of course, are you saying that every Nigerian, because they are there, they will experience this? That's their problem. But I have discovered that for me to be born under certain circumstances and pass through certain things, because I am a believer in Christ Jesus, the Bible says there are glories to follow. That there are glories to follow. I told you then that earlier that people said that read the New Testament. Hey, wait, that's not so. Read Isaiah. Two books that have blessed me more than any other one ever since I got this understanding around 1997 is Psalms and Isaiah. If you see the Bible I had then, I still have it in my house. Isaiah is colored from my hand. That is, you know, dirt. The pages are squeezed. Because every time I opened it, it will say, comfort ye, my people. Speak kindly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her warfare is accomplished, that she has received double of the hand of the Lord for all her iniquities. He said, get up behind my... He begins to... Do you know... It's as if Isaiah is sitting there and say, banky, banky, how now? I got news for you. That's how the thing used to do me. That was how the day I read Isaiah chapter 66, verse 12. He said, behold, I cause prosperity to flow towards you like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. When he declared that Gentiles will bring wealth from afar to your gates, I said, these are the glories of Christ. All I need to do is prune myself of all defilement of flesh and spirit, thereby stepping into the fullness of Christ. Then, that's my portion. Do you understand my point? It is not St. Augustine. Anybody who said that St. Augustine was the one that twisted the scripture is not true. I've heard all kinds of powerful names. I'm so thankful to God I didn't learn my Bible from a school of theology. Do you understand my point? I read it by hearing teachings around, reading books here and there, studying the scriptures, praying. Because there are times I want to get into discussion with people. They'll say, I was talking with somebody once. We're talking about the matter of tithing. I remember that day. He said, are you telling me that you believe in the pre, No, in the dispensational teachings of Christ. I said, what did you say? He said, dispensational teachings of Christ. I said, excuse me, I have never heard that expression before. Never. But what I'm telling you, let me break it down. And it is clear from the scriptures. Then why I remember that? Because somebody, one day I was reading a book. And someone was saying that there are different ways of interpreting the scriptures. There are some people use this substitutory method. I said, eh? That they, everywhere they see Jew, they substitute church. I said, oh, so there is a name for it. I did not substitute church for Jews. God forbid. I never substituted church for Jerusalem. I just said everything that they said belonged to Jerusalem, to Judah, to Israel, or to Jerusalem. Paul said that God revealed to him, and I strongly believe it to be so, that the wall of division has been separated. Do you understand my point? I mean, if there were two buckets here, separate, or maybe one big cylinder, separated by tight ceiling partition. If you pour water into one, it doesn't get to the other. It don't get into the other one. We praise God for that. No problem. Then one day, when Jesus Christ came, collected his cross and banged on the partition, and the thing broke, and he scraped all the pieces and took it away. Are you now saying that the water is no longer for this side of the cylinder? I'm not saying it's not. I'm just saying pour it inside. It will reach the two sides. Why? Because the wall of partitioning has been what? Removed. That's what we are saying. No? And Paul said, nobody understood this. That was why Peter went to Jerusalem, to Cornelius. And when he got back to Jerusalem, the Bible says some people, go and read it again now, Acts chapter 11, verse 1 and 2. He says some people picked issues with him. Have you found that in your Bible? That Paul always greeted people at the beginning. I have heard of your faith. I've heard of your perseverance. I've heard of your patience. I've heard of this. When he got to Galatians, after introducing himself, first statement, oh foolish Galatians. No, go and read your Bible. You know the interesting thing? He greeted the Corinthians. I've heard of your faith and your love and your desire in the spirit, how you are manifest. The same people, he told them, amongst you, I have heard of iniquity, the type that is not even named amongst the people around, the unbelievers. That a man took his father's wife. Even the unbelievers don't do that. But the Galatians, he never said they stole money. Is it not funny? They never took anybody's girlfriend, that much more father's wife. Yet, there was no I've heard of your faith. He said, oh foolish Galatians. Who cast a spell upon you? King James says, who has bewitched you? Do you know why? Because somebody went and preached to them that for you to tap into blessing, for you to get righteousness that pleases God, you need to obey the laws of Moses. And Paul wanted to die. That was when he began to... That was one time Paul had to present his credentials. He said, listen to me. What I am telling you, I did not hear it from Peter, lest you think it has been corrupted before I got it. He said, I got it by revelation of Jesus Christ. And when he said that, he did not mean the way Banky says revelation. That is like, I was praying and revelation hit me. That was not what he meant. Go and read the stories of Ken Hagin. You will know what they meant by revelation of Jesus Christ. The meaning of that Greek word means that there was a physical appearance of Jesus Christ. Jesus will come in, take a seat, and sit down. And say, Paul, sit down there. Let us talk. This was what happened. That's why he told them that what happened on the last night, I wasn't there, but let me narrate it to you. He said, what I received of the hand of the Lord, the same I delivered to you. That on the same night he was betrayed, he took bread. You know he wasn't there. When Jesus appeared to him, he said, on the night I was betrayed, I took bread. And he was accurate. He said, I had preached this gospel for 14 years. Before I even bothered to go to Jerusalem and go and call Peter, say, what really happened? You were a witness. Let's compare notes. What I'm deceiving myself. Are you getting the point? That what I'm preaching, I didn't learn it from Peter. He said, let me tell you. That was when he was telling them story that, okay, I know those of you who are Catholics. You think Peter was the Pope. Okay, listen, let me tell you. Peter spoke, did something he was wrong. I challenged him publicly. Even if he's your Pope, he's not superior to me in revelation. That's what he was telling them. That when he makes a mistake, I tell him to calm down. Are you getting the point? That's what Paul was angry. He said, listen, if you are talking about bragging, I should be the one bragging. He wrote down to the Philippians. that, listen, what I'm telling you within the Galatians, anyone who teaches you anything different, the only time Paul used such expressions, he said, let him be accursed. That if anybody tells you, you need to keep the Sabbath, you need to sacrifice, you need to do this according to the laws of Moses before you can be pleasing to God, he said, may God judge him. That's what he was saying. Paul didn't find a point, you know. Now listen, these were people who were not fornicating. They were not committing. No, the Corinthian church, they were a lawless bunch. That the one bro woke up one day and said, the Spirit of God ministered to me to take my father's wife. And he just went, collected one young wife that his father had, and was living in the same house with her. No, Paul was like, hey, it's not like this. Oh. But he greeted them properly. Go ahead at the beginning. I've heard of your faith. You guys are doing well. In fact, the whole world has heard. The Galatians didn't steal 5 kobos. Nobody was exchanging wives. Yet, that was one time he began to, you know what you say in Pidgin English? The guy begins to swear for them. I don't know how many of you speak Pidgin English. The guy begins to swear for everybody. Anybody who says anything different from what I have said, let him be accursed. Even if it is I, Paul, that comes back tomorrow to tell you what I said before is not correct, let me be accursed. And woe betide the person who has the temerity to go there and speak against those words of Paul. They will have seen the guy die publicly. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? That is, these promises, they were there in the Old Testament. Committed, well, what we call the Old Testament, the law and the prophets, they belong as much to the Jew as they belong to the Christian as they belong to the Jew. What God needs to do is to open your eyes to see how they apply to your situation. So somebody says that read only the New Testament is good. Get introduction there. But the Bible says clearly that the gospel was preached by the prophets. If you don't read Isaiah, you don't know anything yet. If you have not read David, to say if I fall 7 times, I will yet rise up again. Falling is sufferings of Christ. Rising is the glory of Christ. Are you getting my point? He said, my enemy don't laugh when I fall, because I will rise again. That is, when I fall, it's called the sufferings of Christ. Once Christ suffers, Christ must be glorified. That's what Paul was saying. Are you getting my point? See why nobody, look, I'm preaching some of the message now. That's why nobody can, in this country, nobody can persuade me to move. Because glory is about to appear. After partaking in the suffering, you want me to now disappear when it's time for glory? They curse me. No. After partaking in suffering, after taking my own part in suffering, when it is time for glory, you want me to run? You cannot bait me, my friend. You can't. For every suffering of Christ, there is a glory. Are you hearing my point? That's why Paul said, how did he say it again? He said, the temporal light affliction cannot be compared with the eternal weight of glory that will be revealed because of that affliction. See, the affliction is temporal, it's light. It's not much. It may appear painful. He said, but because of that affliction, there is a glory that is revealed, which is always eternal. Are you following my point? And that's what we are saying. Paul said, Peter was explaining. He said, the prophets prophesied. Paul said in Romans chapter 1, here verse 2, he said, this gospel was promised beforehand through the prophets. It's just that they were not of any effect until Jesus came. But to the Jews, he gave and committed the oracles of God. Guard it and keep it. A day will come that this book will be the most popular book on this earth. You don't know, the Bible has never been rivaled in popularity. Never. It is always the best-selling book on the earth. Which is interesting, considering the fact that there are all kinds of people printing all kinds of versions. It always switches between, this year might be King James. There was a year for a long time it was NIV. Then New Living Translation came out, and then it would overtake. But it's always a Bible. You can write Da Vinci Code. No, I'm telling you, you can write, what's the name of the boy wizard? a reporter, you are not going to beat the Bible in circulation and spread. You can't. You cannot. It's the eternal word of God. God has prepared it as his package for mankind. We'll continue on it next time. So that you understand how to read that. What I'm introducing today is that mystery of Paul and helping us understand how to read the Old Covenant. The easy way to even start, anytime, get a Bible that puts New Testament reference to the Old Testament in block letters on different characters. Then read them in context. Initially, you'll be taken aback at the disparity in usage. But that's to let you know that the prophets prophesied, even to them it was confusing. But to his holy apostles and prophets, the understanding is being opened. So you get to Paul. Paul will quote things like, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that's stretching out the wheat. And I said, hey, listen, that's a type. We're not obeying laws now. We are getting the principles behind those laws. You get to where we were just now. When Paul will be telling you about, I refer to Hebrews. He preached the gospel to those who are far. Then we're talking about, I am my bread. You look at it and say, didn't look alike. Then you see Jesus said that out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. He said, where was that one from? Ezekiel said that I went to the temple and from this edge the water was flowing. He said, that's what he was saying. That is, the temple was representing a person. The temple represented a person. Then God begins to open your eyes. Let me close with 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. But let me just read this. He said, but to this day, from 15, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed from, is that into the same image, from glory to glory. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. That is, what you see in the scriptures depends on whether your eyes are unveiled or they are not. That is, if you have understanding, you see candlesticks. Are you getting my point? You will see the effort. You will see the uniform of the priests. And what will you be getting? Revelation. Understanding. Understanding will be jumping to your eyes. Because the Bible said that those things, that God took Moses to the mountain and said, see that temple? He said, I have seen it. He said, go to the earth and replicate it. It's a type of what I'm going to do in the life of the people that believe in Christ Jesus. Are you getting the point I'm making? That you will see the ark, the golden censer. You will see the rod of Aaron that budded. You will see all those things. And revelation will be jumping. Understanding will be entering your heart. Listen, everything God commanded Moses to make in the temple, the Bible says clearly it was a shadow. Are you getting my point? It was a shadow of things that were supposed to come. If God opens your eyes, you will see it too. But if your eyes are veiled, you will see the New Testament. And now you'll be seeing, thou shalt not. Women shall not talk in church. The long hair is not good. Short one is bad. No. Peter said, no jewelry. Women are not supposed to wear jewelry. Adornment should not be with gold. Adornment should be, then all the women will remove their jewelry. Quick, put it down. You understand? He said, it is after the inward man of the heart. Like one woman said, sisters, men still look on the outside. It is God that looks at the heart. So when you get home, your husband will look on the outside. Now, I'm just saying that when people don't have understanding, then they start bringing laws out of where there was no law, where there were no strict codes and things like that. They will manufacture it. Why? Because eyes are not unveiled. But the man with the unveiled face, he will look into strict laws and get understanding. They said, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that stretching out the wheat. Paul said, can't you see? He said, what do you mean? He said, it's a type. A type of what? It means that every time a man ministers to you, you're supposed to minister back to him. He said, yeah, is it in the Bible? Paul says, there. You can't see it. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? God, you know, they will start telling you things about the priest must not wear. You know, the priest of God was forbidden from wearing anything that made him sweat. That is, he couldn't wear polyester, no nylon material, satin, all those, no. It must always be linen, cotton, wool, things that had pores that he mustn't sweat. Then begins to tell you that prosperity must come by the Spirit. that a man who will prosper in God must not labor to prosper, but must labor to enter into God's rest. Then the grace of God will carry him into prosperity. You are reading this from laws. Do you understand my point? Come on, let us close. The Lord is good. All right, let us pray. I want us to just say one prayer for ourselves as we close today. Just say, Lord, open my eyes, unveil my face, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law, out of thy prophets, out of thy promises, out of the law and the prophets, out of the whole Bible, especially things that have to do with my life, that have come to understand that your promises are not just for the Jews, but they are confirmed only in Christ Jesus.